I'm a desperate man. Send lawyers, guns and money. This shit has hit the fan.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of Today's Survival Show, helping you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it on your own terms and strengthen your resolve. Our goal is to make survival simple, not extreme, and Teddy Roosevelt once said, do what you can with what you have wherever you are. And if you're listening to this show for the first time or you're somewhat new, you're going to find this is a practical show, a voice of reason in a world of chaos. We talk about common sense ideas on how to live a more secure life. What can you do today to set yourself up for a better tomorrow? So thanks for tuning in if you're kind of new. If you have been listening to me for a long time, thank you. It's a pleasure. Listener count continues to grow, and that's because of you. And as long as you folks keep listening, keep sending me emails and show suggestions and so forth, I'm just going to keep on doing it. This is part number two of the threat assessment, basically the financial threat assessment. If you remember back in episode 77, a couple days ago, I talked about how we're pretty much on the brink of a financial collapse in this country. I'm not saying when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen next month, next year, or in the next 4 years. But if the pattern continues, yes, we're on the brink of a financial collapse. What does that mean? All right, does that mean there's going to be all a bunch of chaos out there? I don't think so. Again, as I told you, I don't get into paranoid thinking. I don't think that we're going to be on a civil disobedience level. Let's put it that way. I think it's going to cause a lot of hurt for a lot of people who are not prepared. I can tell you that, especially people who are not financially prepared. And, you know, I talked about the standard of living in the previous episode, going down. If you're a kind of person that's not financially prepared, it is going to really drop. Your standard of living is really going to drop if you don't start doing something about it right now. Because I can tell you what, folks, the government is not going to help you increase your standard of living. It's impossible. Okay? Forget healthcare, folks. You know, if this healthcare thing works out the way that they're saying it's going to, I don't think it's going to. But if it does, and everybody has health insurance, okay, fine. That's still not going to increase significantly the standard of living for people that, especially those who are not prepared. The only thing that's going to increase the standard of living for people is more money in people's pockets. And the health insurance part of it and the healthcare part of it is just a very, very small part. It's a tip of the iceberg, in my opinion. So I'm going to talk about what it is that you can do. I have some real solutions. I wanted to set the stage in episode 77. I think I did that, and I think the Don McElvaney audio clip that I played helped set the stage. Got another good audio clip to play for you today, and then I have some good solutions to talk to you about. I'm going to get into that in a couple minutes. I want to knock out just a couple of announcements, folks. I don't make my show real commercial. As you notice, I'm not one of those podcasts that spends 6 minutes talking about sponsors before I dump in or dive into the main topic. I don't do that. This is not my full-time job. This is a hobby of mine, folks. I have a good time with this. I learn just as much from this as you do when you listen to it. So I kind of have a little bit of a selfish reason for doing these podcasts because it helps me out. I'm driving again while I'm doing this. I travel about 47,000 miles a year for my job. And so I use a little bit of the windshield time in my vehicle to bring you these shows. But I want to knock out just a couple of announcements. The website, todayssurvival.com, and the forum website, todayssurvival.com/forum. Speaking of the forum, let's get our sack contest cranked up. I mentioned this in episode 77, and I'll say it again. I've added a new facet to the Survival Activist Club. You can be an activist by turning people on to this show and by getting people involved in at least thinking for themselves about preparing. And finances is a good one to start talking to them about. You know, if you want an icebreaker, talk about how you're financially prepared. And folks, you can't help other people get financially prepared unless you are financially prepared. So if you use this show as a way to get yourself on track, or if you use it as a way to spread the word, spreading the word is what is the other facet that I'm adding. As you know, you can score points in the Survival Activist Club that I've started. If you score a point, you get your name put into a drawing. There are several good, excellent books that we're giving away. Go to the forum and look at the Survival Activist Club, and you'll see a list of some of the books that some of our generous forum members have decided to give back to the show and give back to the website and donate some books. I'm also going to add a really nice gift, and I'm going to keep that secret until about 2 weeks from now, and then I'll announce it. So there's going to be six, maybe seven gifts that you can get. How do you get those? How do you earn those? If you score a point, your name goes into the drawing. More points you score, the more times your name is in the drawing, the better chance you have to win. You can only win one prize, so there's going to be a total of six winners. But again, the more times that your name is in the drawing, the more chance you have to win. How do you score a point, you ask? You can either write an elected official. You can complain about something that's going on. There's a lot to complain about. They need to hear from you, folks. This is still government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Let's do our part to keep it that way. Or you can spread the word. If someone says that they have joined the forum because you referred them, or if they're now listening to the show because you referred them, all you have to do is get them to send me an email. Or join the forum and put a post and give your username. And if they said so-and-so referred me and they use your username, you score a point. It's pretty much that simple. So that's the other announcement that I wanted to make, and that's it. I keep the announcements short and sweet. Let's dive into the main subject matter. And that is, how do we get ourselves financially prepared? You guys have heard me talk about Dave Ramsey before. I'm a huge believer in the Dave Ramsey program. And I can't say enough good things about Dave Ramsey. If you have not already read the book, Total Money Makeover, you need to get it. Even if you've read it, folks, I've read it three times. And I've got highlighter marks and I've got pen marks all over that thing. Okay, reread it. It's a fantastic book. I was able to take his 13-week course. One of his facilitators was teaching the 13-week Financial Peace University course at the church I was attending at that time, and it changed our financial life in my family. So you might be thinking, all right, Bob, you know, you convinced me in episode 77 that not only the United States, but our world's in a huge world of financial trouble. You convinced me, Bob. Now what do I do about it? My thinking is there's only one solution to all of this, and that is for us to pay off our debt and stop spending. Okay? Pay off our debt and stop spending. And relying on our government to do that is just not realistic. True freedom lies in each person's ability to take the outcome of their life into their own hands as much as possible. And I believe it starts with finances. Okay, if I can show you how to discipline yourself with your finances, then I can show you how to discipline yourself in every other area of your life, folks. And that's where I really think it starts. Even increasing your financial discipline increases the likelihood of your marriage succeeding. Did you know that, folks? Most people who take Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University course, it even improves marriages. So if you're someone who's married, if you're having trouble, start with finances. Finances is the biggest cause of marital disagreements. It's one of the biggest causes of divorce. Put your financial house in order. You'll see your marriage improve as well. It carries over. Financial peace carries over to every other aspect of your life. And that level of discipline is going to help you store more food. It's going to help you generate more supplies. It's going to help you store more water, grow a garden, learn to can, learn to dehydrate, learn to raise animals, teach your children about living a good life, and everything else that's involved in being a survivalist. And folks, you don't have to play this crazy spending and debt game that our government is choosing to play. You can decide to opt out of this game. You can limit how much that you're victimized by all that. And so before I get into some ideas that I want to share with you that you can start putting to work today in your life, let me play a little audio clip for you. And I want you to listen to Ron Paul talk about some of the financial... I didn't get a chance to put this into episode 77. So I don't want to complete this podcast without putting this in, because this is some important stuff. He was interviewed, I think it was a little bit over a year ago. And he was interviewed by an organization called GoldSilver.com. So this is Congressman Ron Paul being interviewed by GoldSilver.com not too long ago. Listen to this clip, and I'll come back with some comments, and I'll come back with some ideas that I want to share with you about preparing yourself financially. Here you go.
I think we're going to have a collapse before they come around to really thinking seriously, you know, about monetary policy and why we have to revamp it. Recently, we have seen the dollar go down sharply. I think it's going to continue, and hopefully it'll wake the people up and find out you have to have honest money and follow the Constitution, because it says only gold and silver can be legal tender. If this is sunk on a boat and a ship now, or it was 500 years ago, you dig it up. It has tremendous value. There will be numismatic value plus the real value of gold. This sinks, you put it to the bottom, and who cares? The Federal Reserve has been given the power and the authority by our Congress, in contrary to the Constitution, to create money out of thin air. The Federal Reserve makes credit available, but in a way it's fraudulent and it's theft. It becomes valuable only by diluting the value of somebody else who's holding money. I can, as a member of Congress, I can find out more information about what the CIA is doing than what the FOMC is doing, the central bank, what they're doing on monetary policy. That's very, very secretive of what they're doing. But the Congress created it, so it's not like General Motors being a private company. In some ways, it's almost worse than just saying private. The benefits are privatized, and yet it's ultra secretive, and all powerful. Under today's circumstances, a Bernanke or a Greenspan, very, very powerful, and they might. I'm sure they are trying to manipulate the price of gold, and they're always trying to manipulate the value of dollars, and the people are deceived, and the world plays this game that the dollar is as good as gold and it's a reserve currency.
Can you tell us a little bit about the entitlements?
Most people, when we talk about entitlements, and I really bought into this before I first went to Congress, and that was, it was always those poor people. But I think the entitlements and the welfare for the rich is much bigger. There's the entitlements of privilege regulations and tax benefits here and there, and the military-industrial complex and contracts. Just think how many billions of dollars are going into big corporate coffers in trying to rebuild Iraq. First, the military-industrial complex makes all this money building weapons. Then when they destroy a country, then they get more money to rebuild it.
What's going to happen when the baby boom generation retires and you see expenses and income on graph after graph in the financial statement of the United States? They're basically telling us what is going to happen in the future, and it's not a pretty picture.
This is so huge that nobody can quite comprehend it. It's into the many, many trillions of dollars. All we know for certain is it's not workable, and it will fall apart. I think this country is going to get much, much poorer, and the entitlements will finally have to end, because just printing the money and running up the deficit, or expecting foreigners to continue to loan us the money, it's not going to last. It's just a dream, and it's very, very serious. The founders didn't even like democracy, and we're expending lives and hundreds of billions of dollars to go over there and tell the Iraqi people how they're going to live. I mean, that's going to end. It's going to end, not because of great wisdom gravitating to Washington. Is going to end because we're going to run out of our wealth, and the entitlement system will be declared bankrupt. Back to the basics, the education, the understanding, the founders' message, the message we have in our Constitution, it could all be preventable, but we yield to the temptation of a free lunch.
If Thomas Jefferson or Andrew Jackson came back today and took a look at what has happened to their country, to this system that they laid out in the Constitution, what would their view of what our society is, what would it be? Do you think they would describe us as socialists, as communists?
Yeah, but they might want to arrest us and put us in prison, especially Congress.
Okay, now, folks, you've heard me say many times, this is not a political show. And even though Ron Paul is a politician, the reason I wanted you to hear from him is because I think he's got a pretty good sound grasp as to what's going on financially in this country. And just because he's a politician, and just because there's an R before his name, please don't accuse me of making this a political show, okay? I've had some email comments like that come my way. I don't preach politics on this show. I just good common sense, and I talk about the facts of what's going on. And Ron Paul's pretty much right on about the facts and what's actually going on out there. We are headed for some type of a collapse. Now, as Ron Paul mentioned, it could be a collapse in entitlements. It could be a collapse in the benefits that people receive from some of these entitlement programs. In fact, that's quite likely. In fact, it's almost assured there'll be a collapse. Now, what does that mean? Means you're going to have to be much more financially solvent to provide yourself with your needs. Okay? And, you know, you've heard me say this before, too. Social Security, folks, was never meant when it was first started to be the sole retirement income for an individual. It was not supposed to be a person's only retirement income. It was supposed to be a supplement to their retirement income. Also, Social Security, did you know this? Social Security was not supposed to be a permanent part of the federal budget. It was set up as a temporary program. It was supposed to go away. It was supposed to get us through the financial storm of the Great Depression, and that was it. It was supposed to go away. But no, the politicians can't let any entitlement program go away, so they made it permanent. Anyway, I don't want to get too sidetracked there. That's a whole subject for a different show. So what do you do about this? Dave Ramsey program. I'm going to borrow some stuff from Dave Ramsey right now. I'm going to borrow some stuff from his book, Total Money Makeover. As I mentioned, if you haven't read it, go read it. But it's all about taking baby steps first, folks. You got to take baby steps. You know, it's like a baby learning to walk. They take a few steps before they start to walk a long way. Let me cover the 7 baby steps that Dave Ramsey talks about in his Financial Peace University program, the 7 steps to financial freedom. And folks, I promise you, this is a life-changing experience. So I want to dedicate this show, part number 2 of the financial threat assessment. And I guess you could call this the threat response, because this is going to be your response to the financial threats out there. Baby step number 1, $1,000 to start an emergency fund. An emergency fund is for those unexpected events in life. The unexpected events in life that you just can't plan for. Things like the loss of a job, an unexpected pregnancy, a family car transmission that goes out. That's happened to me. The transmission goes out on your car, and all of a sudden now you got to pay for it or buy a new car. And most of the time, instead of going into debt to buy a new car, most of the time it's going to make more sense to fix the transmission. But you got to have the money. There's a long list, medical bills. Somebody has to go to the emergency room. Somebody has to get a surgery you didn't plan for. And your copay is $500. Maybe it's $1,000. This is what the $1,000 emergency fund goes for. And folks, do you know what? Do you know that this is the second leading cause of consumer debt? Did you know that? I read a statistic. I forgot where I was reading it. Might have been in the Wall Street Journal. I think it was. It was in the Wall Street Journal. The second most contributing factor to personal consumer debt is the lack of an emergency fund. Little emergencies hit people, and what do they have to do? Whip out a credit card because the money's not in the bank. Now, Dave Ramsey says $1,000. I like to bump that up to $2,000. You should have $2,000 in the bank, folks. Emergencies are getting more and more expensive than they used to be. So I'd say try to get the $1,000 first, but get to $2,000. Call that in your emergency fund. Now, I've had a lot of people ask me, well, how do you keep an emergency fund? Where do you keep it? I used to say, and Dave Ramsey advocates, setting up a separate bank account and dedicating that as your emergency fund only. A savings account, a regular savings account that it's not a checking account, folks. You don't want to be able to write checks on this. But I'm not even a big fan of that anymore. Okay, keep your emergency fund in cold hard cash. That's right. Keep your emergency fund, couple grand, in cold hard cash. Now, where do you store your cash? Where do you keep your cash? Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of different schools of thought. Some people say get a fire safe and bolt it to the floor of your house and put it in the fire safe. That's not a bad idea. Some people say put your cash in a safe deposit box at the bank. That's not a bad idea. Wherever you want to keep your cash, however you want to keep your cash, I'm a believer in keeping cold hard cash as an emergency fund. Here's why. First of all, a bank account is way too easy to raid. All right, if you have somebody in your family that likes to spend money and they have access to that savings account, it's far too easy and too tempting for them to go to the bank and withdraw the money or go to the ATM machine. Even if it's in a bank account dedicated as an emergency fund, they can still go withdraw the money. If the cash is in a fire safe and they don't have the combination, they ain't getting the money out of there to go spend it. I'm talking about the person in your money, in your family, that has a propensity to overspend. Okay, the second reason I'm a big fan of keeping your emergency fund in the form of cash is, what if there's a power outage? And merchants can't run your ATM debit card. All right. What if the machines that process your debit cards are out of order and you're trying to spend your emergency fund on some kind of an expenditure? They may not be able to take your card, but they could take cash. You also, I mean, this is also, you know, some people might think, well, Bob, this is paranoid thinking, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. What if the banking system collapses, even for a short period of time? What if for some reason you just can't get to the bank to withdraw your money, but it's truly an emergency? Very few people will have a problem if you've got your emergency fund in cold, hard cash. Excuse me, folks. I got distracted there. I am driving down the freeway, and the driver ahead of me isn't behaving very well. Let me just put it that way. Anyway, it's easier to spend when it's in cash, and it's easier for somebody else not to spend when it's locked up in the form of cash. Okay, baby step number two, pay off all debt using the debt snowball. How do you make a snowman, folks? How do you make snowballs? You start with a small one and you roll it into a bigger and bigger ball. That's what you do with debts. You start with small debts and you work your way up, paying off bigger debts. Here's a little bit how this debt snowball works. You need to read Dave's book to get the full details, but pick a small debt. Anything. Pick the smallest debt that you have, the smallest in terms of total dollar amount, and work real hard to save the money and pay it off. That gives you your first victory under your belt. That gives you a good feeling. Let me tell you, folks, that's a huge feeling when you do that. It feels great to go pay off that first debt. Then it gets addicting. Then take your next smallest debt and pay that one off. And your next smallest and your next smallest. And obviously, the amounts are going to start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Once you start paying off the smaller ones, of course, that leaves your bigger debts left. And that's how you snowball. That's how you start going from small debts to large debts. List all your debts, excluding your house. Okay, don't worry about your house right now. That comes later. List all your debts, excluding your house, in order. Okay, the smallest balance should be your number one priority. Don't worry about interest rates either, by the way. I've heard people say, well, don't I want to pay off what's got the highest interest rate first? No, just worry about the amount first. Now, if you have two debts that are about the same amount, let's say they're both $100, okay, then use interest rate and pay that one off first, whatever has the highest interest rate. Okay, if the amounts are about the same, pick the one with the highest interest rate, naturally, and then pay that one off. Okay, baby step number three, 3 to 6 months of expenses in the savings account. Now, this is also huge, folks. This is what I was talking about earlier. I think it was in episode 77 when I asked you a question. And I'll ask it again. Do you have the ability to go 90 days without a paycheck? Do you have the ability to go 90 days without a paycheck? Okay, that stink hit the fan situation could easily happen today. Okay, once you've completed baby steps one and two, once you got the couple grand of an emergency fund put away, and you've paid off all your debts except the house using the debt snowball, baby step number three is have 3 to 6 months worth of daily living expenses. Figure out what it costs you to live. You should make a written budget anyway and figure out what it costs you to live. You know, folks, the hardest part about all this, folks, is making the written budget. You know that most people do not make a written budget? Do you know that less than 3% of all households, less than 3% of all households, folks, have a written budget? Mine is on my computer. It's been that way. It's been there for about 5 years now, a written budget, and we follow it. Okay, but once you've completed those first two steps, you're starting to build some serious momentum now. You're starting to really get some a momentum of financial steam going here. All right? But don't start throwing all of your extra money into investments just yet. Okay, you got to complete step number three before you... any investment. I'm talking about anything. Don't even start buying gold and silver till you got 3 to 6 months worth of expenses saved up in the bank. It's time to build your full emergency fund. And see, the first emergency fund I talked about, a couple grand, that's your starter emergency fund. Your full emergency fund is 3 to 6 months, and I would say stretch that to 6 months. So a lot of people ask, well, when should I, you know, a lot of people ask Dave the question. I've heard it on his radio show all the time. People call up and they say, Dave, I got step number one and I got step number two completed. I got my $2,000 or I got my $1,000 in the bank and I've got my debts paid off. Now, when do I start investing money? He always answers with, make sure you got step number three completed before you start investing. Have 3 to 6 months, preferably 6 months worth of expenses in the bank. Before you put in any money into the worthless 401ks, before you even buy gold or silver, before you put money into any investment, be able to sustain yourself for 6 months. If you've stored food and you've stored water, that's going to help you sustain yourself for 6 months because you won't have a grocery bill for 6 months because you got 6 months worth of food stored. See how that works? So those of us who believe in storing food, that simple concept can reduce the amount of money that it's going to take for you to have your 6 months worth of expenses in the bank. So that's baby step number three. Now, once you've got that completed, baby step number four is to invest 15% of your household income. Invest 15%. You know what the average savings rate is right now in America? It's less than 6%. It's less than 6%. This is one of the reasons why so many people are in such financial trouble. What does it mean when you save 15% of your income? It means you're going to have to live on 85% of your income, right? Adjust your standard of living. If you're in too expensive of a house, sell it. Get out from underneath it. And folks, even if you had to sell your home just to get out from the payments, if the payments are too high, sell your home, go live in a trailer, or go live in a small, inexpensive apartment for a while. Suck it up. Suck up your pride a little bit. And go live in another situation where you can pay all your bills and you still have 15% of your income left over. So if you're making $4,000 a month, take-home pay. Again, I'm talking about take-home pay. So if you're a family and your take-home pay is $4,000 a month, you need to have $600 of money left over every month after you pay all your bills. That's 15%. Okay? And once you're in that situation, once you've completed those first three baby steps and you're able to invest 15%, if you're able to take that $600 a month at the end of every month or whatever the 15% happens to be, and you're able to start putting that away, keep in mind the strong financial position you're in at that point. You got your emergency fund, your full emergency fund, you've paid off all your debts, and now you're starting to invest 15% of your money every month. That's how you start building wealth. You know, and if you want to buy gold and you want to buy silver and you want to buy a 5-acre piece of land or a 10-acre or 15-acre piece of land that you can start using to sustain yourself and to raise your animals and grow the crops that you want to grow, that's fine. That's a fantastic investment for that 15%. Okay? And then you can go to the next baby step once you're at that point. And that's baby step number five, starting investing for college education funds for your kids, for example. Folks, trust me, you're not going to be able to help your kids go to college if your house is not in financial order by the time your kids get to college. All right, baby step six, start paying off your house early. Okay, at step number six, it's time to start taking a chunk of all the extra money that you have at the end of every month because you don't have any more debts and you've got all your emergency funds filled up. Start taking that extra money to start paying off your house early. Hopefully by this time, after you've readjusted your standard of living, hopefully now you can get back into a house. Hopefully now you got 20% to put down. Don't buy a house unless you have 20% to put down. These days, you probably won't even qualify, or you have a lot less chance of qualifying unless you got 20% down payment to put on it anyway. Okay, so now start paying your house off early. Get to a point where you can realize the dream of living your life without any house payments. That's huge. Do you realize you're wealthy at that point? Even if you stop at baby step number 6, consider this, folks. Just consider this for a moment. All right, stay with me. Let's say you complete baby step number 1, you got your $2,000 as an emergency fund. Then you complete step number 2, you pay off all your debts with the debt snowball. Then you go to step number 3 and you got 6 months worth of expenses in the bank. Then you complete step number 4 and you're investing 15% of all the money that you're making. Then step number 5, you're starting to fund your kids' college education already. And then you complete step number 6, you pay your house off early and you stop right there. Let's say you never go a step further. You are wealthy. I did an episode. I did a podcast. I think it was episode number 30. I talked about building wealth and how wealthy people live. And I remember I made a definition in there that you are wealthy if you truly own your own home. If you truly own what you live in, free and clear, you are wealthy. You don't ever have to go beyond that step, and you are wealthy because you've probably put yourself in the top 1%, maybe even the top 0.5% of people in America that actually do have their home paid for. I'm not there yet. It is truly a goal of mine to get there as quickly as possible. And baby step number 7, according to Dave Ramsey, build wealth and give away. See, folks, part of being a true survivalist is being able to give back. Seriously, I mean, being able to give back. I don't like selfish people who are survivalists. I read so much stuff on the internet. People post stuff on survival websites all the time, and they say stuff like, oh, they say, you know, they say to heck with other people. I don't care about other people, and I'm not going to take care of my fellow man. It's going to be me and my family, and I'm all out just to do whatever I can do for me and my family. And if all heck breaks loose and the stink hits the fan, I'm not going to be helping anybody if they didn't prepare. Tough luck. I don't like that attitude, folks. I think that's bad. I don't really think that those types of people who feel that way are really, truly survivalists. When you get to the point where you can start giving your assets away, when you can start helping people, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to walk through the projects on Christmas Eve and just start handing out $100 bills for a while? Wouldn't it be nice to have a couple grand to just give away and just go up to some poor people and say Merry Christmas and hand them a $100 bill? No strings attached. I know what some of you might be thinking. Oh, they don't deserve it. They can go out and get a job to make that $100. That's not the kind of thinking I'm talking about, folks. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they don't deserve it, but who cares? Wouldn't it be a great feeling to just go give them that? See, wouldn't it be able to be such a good feeling in your heart? Wouldn't that just make you feel great? It would for me. I tell you what, it would for me, right? I'm getting chills just talking about it. Just be able to go up to somebody who's hungry and hand them a $100 bill and say, Merry Christmas. Or even if it's not Christmas time, just say, you know what? I just wanted to do this to help you. And you can afford to do it. Boy, that's where I want to be, folks. And I think that's a true survivalist. That's the meaning of survival right there. And it's really the only way to live, folks. So that's baby step number 7. Okay? So these 7 steps that Dave Ramsey outlines in his program, this will get your financial house in order, folks. And this is truly a survival skill. You know, this is a survival skill that I don't hear a whole lot of people talk about. Jack Spierko on the Survival Podcasts talks a lot about. Jack talks a lot about in his show about making debt your first priority. And I want to echo that. I agree with him wholeheartedly on that. Paying off debt has changed my life. And it truly is the first step in being a survivalist. And he's one of the few people, and I want to be another person, that talks about making sure that we are following these steps to financial freedom. So let me review those. Baby step number 1, $1,000, I prefer $2,000 emergency fund. Number 2, pay off all debt using the snowball. Number 3, Baby step three, 6 months worth of expenses saved up. Baby step number four, invest 15% of your income. Baby step five, funding your kids' college education. Baby step number six, pay off your home early. And baby step number seven, build wealth and give away. Okay, now, I mentioned I'm not a financial advisor, and I'm not really going to profess to be, but there's a couple things before I close this show that I want to share with you about investing, because a lot of people ask, well, what kind of investments are going to give me the best returns? And, you know, like it's often been said, I'm not so much concerned about the return on my investment as I am the return of my investment. And that's what you got to look at, the return of your investment. In other words, making sure that you keep your money. Unfortunately, too few people assess their investments this way. And a lot of it has to do with your risk tolerance. And it's okay to not have a big risk tolerance. You know, don't let somebody sell you on the false notion that, oh, you got to have a huge tolerance for risk, especially if you're young. If you're under 40, you got to take risks like crazy. The only way you're going to make any money is by taking a risk. That's garbage, folks. Especially in today's economy, I just think that's bunk. It really is. There's a few things that come into play. Okay, but even if you just socked away 15%, I know about inflation. You have to try to stay ahead of it. But even if you don't stay ahead of inflation, you're still going to be better off than Joe Schmo that didn't save a penny. If you've been saving and if you've been socking away 15% of your income for the past 20 years, trust me, you're going to be in a lot better shape than the guy that didn't do that. Typically speaking, a younger person can take on more risk, sure, because you got time to make things up if you have some losses. But don't get too carried away with risk-taking. Okay? Follow the steady Eddie approach. Just keep putting a little bit away each month. You also have to ask yourself, what kind of life do you want when you retire? And what position are you going to be in when you retire? And what I'm talking about is, you know, you've heard me talk about retirement in one of the shows I did about, I think it was episode number 31, and I helped to define what retirement is. For me, I'll just tell you what retirement means to me. You may have a different view of retirement, but for me, retirement doesn't mean that I quit working. Retirement means I work when I want to work. And if I know myself the way I think I know myself, I'm always going to want to work. Because, see, I'll be having fun with what I'm doing. See, retirement also means let's have a blast. Retirement means I don't have to go to a job I don't like. I can be choosy about what I do. And I can have fun with it. And I can enjoy it. And it'll be a blast. It'll be so much fun, it won't seem like work to me. That's retirement. I'm already retired, folks, because I really enjoy what I do. Seriously. I mean, I love to sell. I love to get out there and sell products. And you know what? When the economy's bad like it is right now, I have even more fun with this job. It's harder to sell my products. I work for an electronics manufacturer. We make a lot of security electronics. We also make a lot of home technology electronics. There's not a lot of people buying home technology products right now. Not a lot of people have a lot of disposable income for that kind of stuff. Makes my job a lot harder. Yeah, my sales are down because of the economy. But to me, it's fun, folks. I get off on this. I really do. Now, you might be listening to this show saying, no way, Bob, I'm not going into sales. I won't sell anything. That's fine. That's okay. If you don't like it, don't do it. Trust me. If you don't like sales, don't get into selling. Don't get into selling if you don't like it. But figure out what you do like. And if you are working and you are doing something that you thoroughly enjoy, folks, you're retired. Do you understand that? And then once you get to the point to where you're self-sufficient and you don't have very many expenses and you've got 6 months worth of expenses saved up anyway, now you're really enjoying retirement because now you're doing what you want to do. You're doing what you've always wanted to do. You're having fun doing it, and you don't have to worry about money. My ultimate definition of retirement is to cross money off of my worry list. To cross money off of my worry list. And you have to put a time frame on that as to when is it going to be when you retire. So that's my definition right there. And I'm not at that point yet, folks. I'm getting close, but I'm not at that point. I'd say I'm probably less than 12 years from that point. And to me, that's pretty close. But I can tell you one thing, folks, is I'm really not going to ever stop doing something. Folks, you know, I can't go golf the rest of my life. I just can't. I hate the game anyway, but I can't shoot the rest of my life. I can't fish the rest of my life, and I can't hunt the rest of my life. I've got to be doing something where I'm around people every day. That's just me. I know that about me. Okay? Maybe I'll still be doing this podcast. I don't know. But I'll be doing something to where I'm around people all the time, and I have a blast doing it. I'm just saying, figure out what it is that you thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. And when you can do that full time, that's when you're truly working, truly retired, excuse me, and set a time frame as to what, how long is it going to take you to get to that point. Set some goals. The important thing is knowing the goals that you have and what they are, and putting them down on paper and setting a time frame to them. Okay? And the other thing you have to think about before I close this show when it comes to investing your money is know what your reflex is. Know what your reflex is. What I mean by reflexes is your gut reaction. Okay? In other words, what's your gut reaction to a 10% dip in the stock market, for example? Okay, that's what I mean by what's your reflex. What's your reflexive response to that? You know, what's your gut reaction? Are you the type of person that rolls with the punches? And you understand that the market sometimes does this. Now, of course, as you heard Ron Paul talk about, it hasn't done so well. And it may never do. It may never get. In fact, it probably will never get to the levels that it used to be. All right? You know, when people start saying the stock market is the answer, I don't know about that anymore. Now, the stock market used to be, if you could tolerate the risk, it used to be a smart investment. I don't know about that anymore. Not with the direction our company or our country is headed and some of the major corporations are headed. I don't know. In fact, I'm going to say it's probably not your best option anymore. But what is your gut reaction when any of your investments go down, no matter what they are? If you can't stomach the fact that it goes down, then that's measuring your reflex right there. Then that means you probably need to back up on your risk-taking a little bit. Nothing wrong with that either. And you also have to take into account your emotions. You know, is it going to throw you into being an emotional basket case? If it is, if losing even just a little bit is going to cause you to go into your emotional basket case area, don't do that. Then don't invest in that if it's that volatile. And that's why a lot of people like to invest in gold and silver, because it's not as volatile. And their reflex, their emotion, their gut response is they can handle that. They can handle the minor fluctuation in gold and silver prices. Be real careful of emotional decision making. It can hamper your growth. Okay? And be real careful, folks, of people trying to tell you what to do with your money. You probably know best. When it's all said and done, you probably know best. Trust your gut. You probably know how to handle your money better than anybody else. As long as you're following the 7 baby steps I talked about. That right there. You know, investment advisors don't teach that. Of course, unless you're listening to Dave Ramsey. How many times have you heard an investment advisor just cover the 7 baby steps that Dave Ramsey teaches, that I just covered with you on your podcast? How many times have you heard that? You know, when you get on the radio and you listen to these people, or you're listening to the investment advisors that are on TV saying that they're the experts, have they talked about these 7 steps right here? I doubt it. So put those to work in your life today and get on the road to financial freedom. And never mind about what our country is doing. You take care of your own financial affairs, would you? It's a life-changing experience. And that's what this program's all about, folks. That's why I do this podcast. To help change some people's life. And as the signature says on my signature line on the forum, to know that even one life has breathed easier because I have lived or because I have said something, to me that's success. If just one person is changed by something I do on this show or any of the other products that I offer to you, to me, that is to have succeeded. That was a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And so with that, I am going to go ahead and conclude episode number 78 of today's Survival Show. My name is Bob Main, and it is my goal to help you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it, on your own terms and on your own financial terms, and strengthen your resolve. And Teddy Roosevelt once said, do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Catch you next time.
Lawyers, guns, and money. This shit has hit the fan. All right, send lawyers, guns, and money.